Good morning, everybody.
Today is another devotional, and this devotional is titled Safeguarding Your Marriage. And so we have intentionally came into this devotional today with hearts prepared, hearts ready, because this is a something that really, I mean, it's a big, big problem in marriage. And so temptation inside of marriage. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. The verses are Genesis 39, 1 through 12. And of course, if you know Genesis, this is the story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife. And so I'm going to read just a little bit about this text because it's so, I think we can apply this so heavily in our lives. And so a little backstory, Joseph was given everything inside of Potiphar's palace to be in control of, and everything he touched, everything he touched was blessed by God. And so in the situation, Joseph went, verse 11, one day he went into the house to attend to his duties, and none of the household servants were inside. She caught him, Potiphar's wife, she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. And when she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her servant, saying, look, look, this Hebrew has been brought to me to make a sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak behind and ran out of the house. And of course, there's more there, but this is so important. What did Joseph do in that moment? He fled from temptation. When the temptation was there, I'm not even going to say it was a temptation, but when those situations happen, run. You know, no reason to try to entertain it. No reason to try to justify it. Just leave. Just run away. Just leave these situations. And so
the enemy will flee from you,
yeah,
right?
That's right. That's right.
Something
rebuke him and he will flee, right?
Makes me think it's not only like when a situation like that is happening. For example, it's coming, this woman, and she lied, and look at the attitude of Joseph. It's amazing. It's approved by God, totally. And not because Joseph was married, you know, but because he was faithful to the Lord.
Yeah.
You know? So even before marriage, you know, we have to prove, you know, to the Lord that we are faithful, that we are faithful, we are loyal to him, because we are the bride of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So first we have to be faithful to the Lord and then to your future spouse.
Yeah. And look at this main verse here. You're not just sinning against yourself or sinning against the other person.
Yeah.
Read what this says. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? He realized he wasn't just sinning against Potiphar or his wife. He was sinning against God.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what we also need to realize. We talked about this in another devotional. When we make mistakes or when we sin or fall short, we're doing it first to God's heart. And we're doing this
first
to him. And so let's read this devotional today and we'll dive deeper into the questions.
Yeah, just one other thing that made me remind. Like Joseph and David, they are so different, but they both were like loved by God, right? But
that's true.
Because
right?
David, he failed in that, right? Joseph didn't. He was approved by God. But David, why God did still like wanted to work with him after he was unfaithful? Because his heart had true repentance. And the Bible doesn't say that he did this again and again and again, you know? So when you repent, have a true repentance and run to the Lord, run back to the Lord and repent totally, right? And every time we sin, doesn't have to be exactly this, but repent truly with all of your heart. That's what we have to do, right?
Here's our verses, or here's our devotional. The pastor and his wife thought infidelity was a problem for others, not for them. They were devoted to each other and had two lovely daughters. They helped other couples prepare for marriage. They counseled those loving marital problems on how to get back together. But then she had an affair with the chairman of the church board. While her husband was out making calls on people in distress, she was at home in bed with his closest friend. Everybody was dumbfounded. It didn't make sense, but maybe it did. Think of Potiphar's wife, a vibrant woman, left home too often by an important husband. She got the leftovers of his energy after giving his best to all those who paid his salary. Feeling unsatisfied, she was attracted to someone new, young and good-looking, someone who reminded her that something was missing in her life. Wow. Yeah, if that attention is not being given by the spouse, right, it's a temptation to find it somewhere else.
Yes, you know? But where is the entertainment of the person, you know? Mm-hmm. Like what you're doing when you're empty, you know? If you're empty, the enemy is going to come and bring trash into your mind. Just like this man showed up, like, I miss my husband the way he used to treat me in the past or this type of thing. But if you're also if you're entertaining bad stuff, what is going to happen in your life?
That's true, right?
not godly things. So when you are alone and you feel alone, like your past, when you are feeling alone, left behind a little bit with your spouse, it's better to seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, and He will make your marriage better.
And we saw this from yesterday's devotional, right? Through Leah, she went to God through these situations, right?
All the hard situations, yes. Or if you don't have a spouse, if we don't have a spouse, what we should do, we should still entertain godly content, godly things, you know?
Another thing, that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so what we're filling ourselves with, if our eye is dirty, if our eye is dark, or what is that verse? If our eye is dark, the whole body is dark, you know?
How great are the darkness?
How great is the darkness? Yes. So, I mean, we have to be so cautious of what we're consuming throughout our days and our weeks. Continuing here. So too with the pastor's wife. When she and her husband took the call to this new congregation, the board chairman paid special attention to their relocation concerns. He became fast friends with the new pastor. He went out of his way to ensure that the pastor's wife was settling in well. While the pastor's star rose, his wife and the board chairman did a little dance of kindness with each other. All three played a part in the infidelity. The pastor should have paid more attention to his wife. The wife should have been more aware of the dangers of coffee and lunches with the chairman. And the chairman should have stayed within appropriate boundaries instead of flirting lightly across them. Infidelity can happen to any couple, even those devoted to spiritual pursuits. For God has made us fully human and fully alive, and we often feel it's most in our sexuality. How does a couple deal with sexual temptations? First, develop a healthy self-awareness and a clear sense of moral boundaries. Joseph knew who he was and what his place was in the Egyptian society. Potiphar's wife, on the other hand, helped herself to whatever she wanted, regardless of whether it was right or wrong. Second, have an exit strategy for situations that seem overpowering. But like Joseph, who knew when to get out of morally suspect situations. Potiphar's wife made Joseph's life miserable after he resisted her, but imprisonment was nothing compared to the spiritual cost of an affair. Third, don't deny your vulnerability. We are all prey to temptation. So talk to your spouse about problems such as overwork, loneliness, and time with others before they become excuses for an affair. Build a wall of protection around your relationship before you begin to drift apart. I think, again, this is a very, very valuable devotional. And we do need to do the devotional as it's titled, Safeguard Our Marriage. We need to put those boundaries around our marriage, around ourself. We need to build those walls of integrity, of security. And, you know, what lines will we not cross? I remember back in my addiction where I had a line, I won't cross this line morally, right? And then I became addicted to drugs, and that line became further and further and further of things that I would not do. And so when we don't have firm boundaries set by the Bible, when the Bible is not the center and the guideline of our life, and when God is not the center of our marriage, those boundaries can easily be pushed back as far as infidelity, right? Yeah. And so with these verses, we have our questions here. So when do you feel vulnerable and attracted to others? First off, I want to go back to Joseph's response to temptation. When those things came, what did he do? He ran away. He left. And so I think it's so valuable for us to not even put ourselves in situations in the first place that this could happen.
I don't feel vulnerable or attracted to any other person than my husband. So for me, it'd be more like why am I going to give a space for the enemy to work, you know, or even for people to see something, like, why am I going to go out with this friend or this work partner that is a man that I don't feel attracted at all, but why to give that vision? Like, I'm going out with someone, like, people can ask, is Marcelle still with her husband? What happened? Why is she going out? In the mind of other person could bring some a bad vision of us, you know? So why to put ourselves in a situation like that?
Yeah. And for me as well, it's so valuable not to put yourself in situations where this could be even a temptation. Why even do that? Yeah. Growing up, I always heard people say that, I believe it was a pastor, I don't remember who it was, but he always said, even getting inside of an elevator with a woman alone, you know, live above reproach. This is something I've always heard preached. Live above reproach. Why put yourself in a situation where something like this could even be a problem? Don't. And I remember also where whenever I was preaching in São Paulo, Chris, my pastor, always told me, at the end of the service, when people want to talk with you or take pictures with you or sign the books that you're selling through that process, Be very intentional with your hands. Be very intentional with the way that you stand, with, you know, who you're close to. And I think that's so wise. Be above reproach, because you never know what someone could do and take the photo and say, this is my boyfriend or whatever. You know, you never know. So put yourself in a position where this can't be a problem, right? I think that's
it. I loved that when I met Dallas, when he came to the missions here, because until I moved to Sao Paulo, I watched the way he acted with other people. And even when we were dating and I came to Sao Paulo and I was his fiance, I didn't translate him yet, you know. So just later, so this attitude of like respect and good behavior close to the people from the other sex, right, I think is very important.
Mm-hmm. It's a very, very important thing. So thank you, Joseph, for showing us how to flee from temptation, yeah. Right? Second question, other than each other, who are our closest friends? In what ways are these people helpful to our marriage? In what ways are they not? This is a tough one.
Yeah, you're my best friend.
Oh.
But I think my second, like, would be my mom, you know? But not no man, you know? My mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with this situation, we have friends in our life and through different seasons of life, some who benefit us and some who don't benefit us. And I've always heard people say that you are the average of the five people you spend the most time around. And so if you're hanging with people that are not living according to the standards of God's will, you are most likely not going to continue to live in the standards of God's will. And so we've been talking about it the last couple of days, how we're so persuaded in our marriage. Like if Marcelli starts to do something, I slowly start to do the same thing. Like mayonnaise on pizza, that's disgusting. I hate mayonnaise on pizza. But I can't find ranch dressing. So slowly, 3 years later in our marriage, now I eat mayonnaise
and
pizza.
I never knew him to do that. And I still don't eat ketchup.
Yeah.
I still don't like it. But sometimes I feel like I'm going to dip my french fry on the ketchup.
Yeah.
So and I try and I don't like it.
So easily by the people that we spend time with and the people that we care about. And
even the other day, I was in the church on Sunday and a woman was telling me some of the things that she cultivates in her home. And I was like, oh, that's nice. And I thought, but this is not what God is calling for me, for my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way she does those things are godly for her. God is calling her into that. But for me, God has a different calling.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong. It's different. Yeah. And I was like, I can't just be convinced by that. At the end, I thought, you know, because I was hearing that. And the Holy Spirit was like, it's amazing, but I'm calling you to do something different.
Mm.
Why? What is the purpose of that? I don't know. But I was also almost convinced by her, you know. And I thought, no, I have to be in the path of God. So if I hang out too much with that woman, I'm going to love her perspective, you know. So
we're so persuaded by our thoughts, yeah. By the people around us. So be cautious of who we allow to speak into our life and to persuade us. And I always preach this as well, that we are influencing people all the time and we are being influenced all the time. I mean, look at social media. It's called a follower for a reason, because you follow this person on their pursuit of life, right? So who are you following? Who are you allowing to adapt and change your mentality and your perspective and your theology. Yeah. Don't get your theology from YouTube or from Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or TikTok.
Yeah, but there's some great theologians.
There is, but don't let that be the only place. Read the Bible for yourself too, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Read the Bible for yourself.
Yeah, read the Bible for yourself, but doesn't mean that you can't get some.
I didn't say that.
Okay.
Don't let it be the only place.
I like Isaiah, Luis Sayão from Brazil,
yes,
you know?
Me too.
Like
don't
the theology.
The only place.
You know?
Don't let it be the only place.
Yeah. I was going to say something else, but I forgot.
Yeah, so let's go to the next question.
Oh, another thing. Inside of that, it's very important for you to know your identity in God, yes. In Jesus, and also your calling. Because sometimes certain perspectives might be good and certain might be horrible.
Yeah.
So you have to know what is your calling, what is your what God calls you to be. For example, you are not a quiet person, not a shy person, and you start being shy because your best friend is shy. Mm-hmm. But if God called you to speak to everyone, so do that, you know, speak to everyone.
And something amazing that Marcelli said, if you guys caught it, because I did, where she was saying that she knew who she was and what God had for her, not just because the woman had something good and godly to give her. She also knew what God wanted for her specifically. Yeah. And so just because it's good doesn't mean it's for you.
Yeah.
Just because it's of God doesn't mean it's for you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's amazing that you can have your identity set in Christ and know what he's calling you to do. And and there's a lot of people that speak things into your life. Hey, I believe God is going to do this for you, or God is doing this.
For example,
we know what God is doing in our life. You
for
know?
Example,
some people are wrong.
Sometime may come a pastor and say for us, like, you guys should stay in Brazil and work in our ministry and work in this city and blah, blah, blah. But we know that God is calling us out.
Which has happened. We've had this conversation many times. You guys are supposed to stay in Brazil forever.
When we know,
I like it, but God has something else for us.
But even when you were working in your ministry before you leave, right?
Mm-hmm.
You wanted to leave for missions, and your pastor was like, I think he loved Dallas too much to let him go, you know? But, you know, and I had situations like that too, but I knew I was supposed to go because God was calling me out. So you have to know what God wants from you.
Yeah.
Sometimes he may use other people. Yes, I was praying for you, and really, God wants you out. But some other people may love you too much, or they want you around, or they think you're an amazing servant, you know?
Yeah.
But know what God wants.
Our last question today, I love this question. How can we build inner strength to deal with those times when our emotions beg us to seek comfort in others? I think that's so good. How does a young man keep his way pure? By the word of God. You know, how do you build this inner strength to say no to desires, to temptations, to not rely on other people other than Christ? Read the word. Have your hope set in Christ alone, and read the word, spend time in prayer. You know, talk to God like a father, talk to God like a friend. Don't be ashamed to yell, to bring everything before the Lord. Why not? It's okay to be angry and come to God with anger. This is frustrating. He's not ashamed. He's not shy. He can handle it. He's a big God. So bring all your things, every concern, every worry, every anxiety to God.
Yeah. It's better to spend those hours crying before God than asking
forgiveness later, right?
Like talking to a friend, you know, that could cause a problem in the future, but talking to even other people that could cause a, like, not holiness, you know. So better spend time in his presence.
Yeah.
Than seeking for comfort somewhere else. Or even sometimes your parents are not going to know everything. Of course, you can ask for parents' advice. But if it doesn't match with the Bible, what the Bible is saying and the Lord, I think you should seek more the Lord, you know, and he will align everything. So
I want to end with these three key points that we can apply practically in our life. Number one, develop a healthy self-awareness and a clear sense of moral boundaries. Draw the line. I will not, whatever it is for you, I will not go with this friend who is kind of living a wild life. I will not eat dinner with the opposite sex for a business meeting or whatever. Draw the line in your life. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. We have set boundaries in our life. And we will not cross this line because we want to live above reproach. We don't want to be in a situation for things like this to happen. Number two, have an exit strategy for situations that seem overpowering. Be like Joseph. Have a way out. God does not tempt us more than we can bear so that we have a way out, right? So if the temptation comes, flee, run away, have an extra exit strategy. Call someone, do something else, right? Practically, do
someone is a great idea. I remember my pastor from here. He told us so many times, like, we were teens, you know, and he told us, like, he called his pastor when he was dating one girl. She was so pretty, so beautiful. He was in love with her, but then he's a pastor, you know, and she invited him to have relations with him, and they were dating, and he was like, he went to his bathroom and he called his other pastor and said, hey, this is happening. My girlfriend is asking me. And the pastor said, run, kick her out of the house and then break up with her. You know, he was like so extreme. And then at the end of the story, we the teens were like so happy that he was dating, and we were like, why did you break up? And then he told us this story, you know, and we were like, wow, so courageous, you know. And he kept being our pastor, you know, for years and years. And such a great example. He fled from that temptation, you know. And she was so beautiful. Like, I bet it was not easy for him. He loved her. He wanted to get married, you know. He was pursuing marriage. But the enemy was using her to destroy everything. He destroyed his ministry, you know, destroy his life. You know, so say no, run, kick the person out of your house if it's necessary, you know?
Yeah, have that person you can call. Find someone you can trust, your accountability partner. Hey, I'm about to mess up.
Yeah.
You know, call
and somebody. It's interesting that many teens at that time, they called this same pastor like, hey, I'm in this party. Can you come get me out of here? I don't know why I came, you know? And he came and took the teens out of the party, and then they kept going to the church, you know. And
that's good.
So it's good to have someone that you can trust, you know, to take you out. Like I said in the devotional, I think it was yesterday, like have people that love you
yes.
and praise for you, you know, not people that are gonna judge you. You sinner, why did you even go to that place, you know? Not gonna judge you, but they're gonna love you and pray with you and help you.
Third point, final point, don't deny your vulnerability. We are all susceptible to temptation. The Bible doesn't say anything about once you become saved, temptations won't come. It says we won't have more temptations than we can bear.
Yeah.
And so when we're tempted, be honest. Don't deny your vulnerability. Don't be prideful and say, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to do this, because we know pride comes before the fall. And if something does come and you're feeling prideful, the enemy is coming for you. And so it's best to be honest, transparent. If there's something in your marriage, discuss it with your wife, your spouse. And that's it. That's our devotional today, safeguarding your marriage. It's so valuable to set those barriers around. I want to end with one final thing. Whenever Marcelli and I were living in the farm, we were talking about the witchcraft things before. But whenever all of these things were happening, we literally safeguarded our house physically, where we took stakes and we put them in, actually we took these stakes, right, these pieces of wood, and we wrote Bible verses, we wrote truth on them, and we planted them in the ground on all corners of the property.
Yeah,
like we literally planted.
Dallas's parents were telling us about that. Yeah,
and we safeguarded our property, and I think we can definitely do this physically in our marriage as well. Safeguard the marriage, build the barrier line, pray around your house, pray around your family, be prepared, put on the armor of God, be ready for these things to come, because we know that they are coming.
Yeah, and the Bible says, like, pray all the time.
Yeah.
Pray all the time, because the enemy is out as to devour you.
Yeah.
So there's
to come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
Your purpose, your destiny, all the things that God has. So thank you guys. Another devotional today. God bless you. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, and we'll see you on the next one.
Amen. Let's pray.
Let's pray.
Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this time together here doing the devotionals, Lord, and speak to everyone, Lord, convict them from the sin, and help us all, Lord, to flee from temptation. Doesn't matter what type of temptation, if it's a person, if it's food, if it's something that we shouldn't be entertaining, something that we shouldn't be thinking about, Lord, please help us to flee from temptation and to entertain godly things and to read your Bible, to pray all the time, all circumstances, Lord, to pray for our beloved ones, and help us, Lord, to walk close to you, Lord Jesus. We need you so much, and we pray blessings for all these people that hear us, Lord. Bless them so much, so greatly, Lord, and help them to walk close to you, Lord, and be intentional about their decisions and walk in truth. And to be testimonies, like to be a great influence, Lord, and for them to know their identity in you, Lord, to hear your voice, to know your voice, Lord. Help these people and bless them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.